how to make this work and let you have small group time. Thank you, ladies, at that table with all that wisdom. And what you basically really taught us is these ladies are the church. The church just testified to what God did when he brought a people out of Egypt so long ago, took them through a wilderness, brought them to the promised land, created a people of God. Jesus came and made that people of God his church. And that's the story they actually told you. And during that wilderness wandering that we have here on this earth, his presence is there. But sometimes we have fear, as you guys all talked about, we surely do. Sometimes we have hope. We encourage one another with our stories and the blessings of Scripture, which kind of keeps us steady, keeps us on track, prayer that gives us the power to make each step of the way a journey with God and to get home to God intact. That story about your son who was hopeless is just the story of the redemption of God in the Bible. So basically, you've taught Miriam's story, so I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to highlight Miriam's story in a few minutes without taking all your time. So let's, I think what I'm going to do is read the scriptures, because in our small groups we don't usually get a chance to actually just read those. So I'm going to read the parts of our text that we were studying this week. The first account that we get of Miriam in the scripture comes in Exodus 2. And it says, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. And she opened it and saw the baby. And he was crying, and she felt sorry for him. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. And then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' 'Yes, go,' she answered. And so the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" Okay. So we've heard that story. You've probably thought of that story a lot about Moses, but until this study or some other study, have you thought a lot about Miriam's presence in that story? She's kind of not that present. It's just the sister, the daughter. Well, it's Miriam. So you guys who have studied this, just quickly, if you can, I plan an interaction teaching. This is going to be interesting. What characteristics do you see about Miriam right here in this text for this morning? Brave. She's brave. Why is she brave?
Because she risks putting the baby, one, in the water, which she probably left that little baby, too. Mm-hmm. And three, going near to the Pharaoh's palace. I mean, that's a really uncommon place for her to be. Mm-hmm. She's not very old. Mm-mm. So it doesn't take much to scare a little one.
Yeah, so a little one has the bravery to follow her brother down to Pharaoh's place, which is kind of scary. And I think we forget, can you actually imagine a time in the world when every male that is born is going to be killed? So every Hebrew mother who is carrying a child is sitting there in their families carrying this child to 9 months. If it's a girl, this child will live, and if it's a boy, this child will die immediately. Can you imagine? You guys talked a lot about fear. Can you imagine the fear level of each Hebrew family? And each family who would have told this story would have seen people who had perished. I mean, this is a murderous event in the background of this story. So she's indeed really brave. What else is she?
She's really quick thinking.
Okay.
You know, her mother didn't tell her to say that.
No.
She didn't even think. She just put the baby in the basket and saved the baby's life. And then she asked Miriam to watch over. But Miriam on her own came up with that plan.
Yes.
So
yes.
That
quickly, yes, she did. She thought that up by herself. Nobody told her to do that. And do you guys have any idea about how old Miriam is here? I mean, did you look it up anywhere or think about it? 12 to 14 is usually what they think she was. So So she's a 12 to 14-year-old that had that quick wit about her. What does she do with Pharaoh's, how does she kind of show her quick-wittedness beyond thinking up the plan? She's subtle in her leadership. I wondered if you'd kind of noticed. I noticed how subtle she was. What does she get the Pharaoh's daughter to think? Right. So she's got like this Egypt. If she had said that this was a mother, then Pharaoh's daughter would have had a hard time really saying it was her daughter. She has a smart little girl who says, if I do this, she really will take this as her daughter. So she's provided a really amazing deliverance actually for Moses right here. This is Miriam's deliverance, and God's using Miriam to deliver Moses into who he's going to become. Anyway, I wanted to really kind of ponder that a little bit. I've never pondered that before, how much bravery that took and how young she was and how clever she was. But you can see the leadership gifts are in her early and not normally very highlighted early. And that made me think of a little question just for you moms or some of you. Who are the people that have told you something about yourself that you grew into? Like what you tell a small child, they will grow into. And so often we forget to tell them what we see. One time, somebody who will remain nameless told me something about my older son, and it wasn't like hyperly over complimentary, but I can see how they got it. And they said, he doesn't have very much compassion. Well, you know, when he was a little boy, that's about all I could see. When he was about 1.5 to 2, the thing that we noticed the most was his compassionate nature, taking care of little animals and being really delicate with things in the yard. And that was his main characteristic. So if I had told him that more when he was little, would he have grown up to be a man that when somebody challenged him like that would know that's not true? I was compassionate. So I went to defense for my kid. One time when I was like in, I think I was in fifth grade, I was like in this Girl Scout group, and it was the first sort of group. I wasn't like all you other kids that like have had 1,000 groups that you got to join. My mother worked all the time, so I didn't get to join groups, but I joined this Girl Scout group in fifth grade. And somehow, sitting around a table, the small group leader there told me, you're a leader. The mom of the group said, you're a leader. I'm going to put you in leadership and show you how to be a leader. And that was fifth grade. She saw something in me that I had no idea I had and no idea was present, and she saw it, mentioned it, and I've grown into it. So I'm just throwing it out to you in your mind. When you were small, did you have a teacher that told you you had a gift? Did you have a mom who said, oh, you're fabulous at this? And have you seen that to produce fruit in your lives? I always ask these questions, and then you have to think for a while. Anybody think about it? All right, well, think about it. That was my thought for you moms. I go, think what it is that you can say to your child that would help them grow into who God made them to be, because they're all there. Well, so Miriam was a little leader, and she kind of shows it in this early account. And then the next time we see Miriam, we see her, and it says that she's leading Moses and the Israelite people are going out through the land, and she's leading them in song. And so let's see where that is. It's really short. It's Exodus, what is that, 15? I'll just read 19 through 21. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and rider he has hurled into the sea. Okay, so after, as they're embarking on this 40-year journey, they've crossed the Red Sea. Miriam is showing herself to be the leader. The scripture says she's a prophet who leads them into worship. So as you can see, she has an active role along with Moses and along with Aaron in this. So have you thought about that before, like a worship leader for Israel being a woman prophet? This is the first mention of a woman prophet in the scriptures. There's 7 of them to come. But just so you know, this is the first time. What does a prophet do? from other studies. I don't know that that came out in our group. I can't remember. A prophet is a mouthpiece for God. A prophet is one who envisions or revelations or directly will tell you thoughts and the things that God wants people to know. Later in Miriam's story, one of the serious problems for Miriam is being a prophet. When you tell people things or say things that aren't from the Lord, it comes with greater impact on the community. As a leader and as a prophet, what Miriam does later in her life is really got to be corrected, and corrected in a big way by God, because of the position that he gave her. He made her a leader. She's a powerful influence on her community. And we're going to find out that a little bit later in the end of her life, she doesn't do so well at one point, and God hears her, and then he has to punish her. That's what we're studying for today. So, okay, got that? So Moses, Aaron, and Miriam are all leading together. Why do you think that God put three siblings as to lead the people of Israel? I don't have an answer for this. I just thought, why do you think that God put three of them together to do this? They're family relations. He gave each one of them a different role. Moses is deliverer. I don't know, maybe. Maybe the sign of a Trinity. I don't have an answer for it. I'm sitting here looking at the study going, that's very interesting to me, and I don't really think I've paid much attention to that. Michelle? Different strengths. Thank you so much. I think that's what I came up with. Can you tell me what the different strengths are, you think, Michelle?
Okay.
All right, has anybody thought about it? They have different roles. Janita? Well, that's true. Oh, don't worry. We got plenty of that here too.
And so Miriam was a role model for women. I think that she really had, as you said, a very clever mind. And she was maybe the thinker of the three. So she stirred the pot that way. And then Aaron was the one that was the bridge for the spiritual connection with God. So that's what I just sort of came up with.
And he was also the speaker.
Excuse me, Michelle?
Moses?
Aaron. Aaron, sorry. Okay. Right. Okay. Anything else? Okay, so God gave them different roles. I think that's true. Lined them up with different gifts, so they're not all the same. Aaron was the high priest. His role was to proceed over the religious aspects of Israel, to do the temple, to do the offerings, to act in that way, and to help Moses and hold up his arms when Moses got weak. Miriam was a leader who was very well spoken, as Janeta pointed out earlier. She spoke her mouth really well and very cleverly with Pharaoh's daughter. So this woman is quick with her words, where Moses is what? Slow of speech, not somebody that God would have, that Moses goes, don't take me, I can't talk. You know how I am, I stutter and I don't make things clear. So God gave them a team to be helpful to one another. And I imagine there's something significant about them being family. But I'm going to just throw out a question to you. In a family, how much sibling rivalry do you get in a family? Yeah, really. I mean, families just have history. Miriam's like 12 years older than this guy, Moses, this little guy that God wants to use. So she's acting like a big sister, I'm sure, at times, maybe even like a mother to Moses at times. So they have all these little relationships that are going on. Moses is up getting the law, and Aaron is down there letting them go crazy over the golden calf. You know, it's like they don't have the same strengths. They have different weaknesses and strengths. I'm sure they knew that. Well, I think what we have at the end story, where Miriam doesn't do very well, is we have quite a bit of sibling rivalry going on. But because we're the family of God in the church, and because we also are brothers and sisters in Christ, this is very applicable to us. We also have a lot of sibling rivalry if we really want to look at it. Jealous over one person's role in the church. Jealous over somebody gets to do something that we don't get to do, and we think we should be able to do it. Miriam is one of the most convicting books, and I thought, can I get out of reading this? It would be so great not to have to teach this. But let's go on. After being successful in her leadership, and in her older life again, after being a prophetess and a worship leader, and she becomes older, she makes the first stumble that we see. She makes the first mistake. So she says, let's see if I can read it. It's on your paper. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. Doesn't that remind you of a parent pulling the three? Doesn't it? The three out of the tent. So the three of them went out together. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud, and he stood at the entrance to the tent, and he summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees from the Lord, he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. And when the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. And he said to Moses, oh, please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. So Moses cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, heal her. The Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she will be brought back. So Miriam was confined against the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until she was brought back. Okay, so this is at the end of her life. It doesn't remind me that much. It reminds me an awful lot, actually, of David, the king of Israel, who led his people in worship and did such fantastic deeds of valor with God, and then at the end of his life really blows it, and God has to rebuke him, and he causes a lot of trouble. Well, so this is kind of later in Miriam. So let that be a warning to us. It's not always the young that do this. It's that the flesh and the sin of us people keeps going with us through our wilderness journeys, and we always have to either choose life, as Paul taught us on Sunday, or choose death. God's blessings, God's curses. It's a choice. So anyway, let's just talk a little bit about the Cushite wife. So I call this her presenting issue. The presenting issue that Miriam is complaining about is that Moses has married a Cushite wife. Now, Cushite wife is an Ethiopian or something, some person from that area of the world. Today we have Cushite language being spoken in some of the tribes. They recognize the roots in Kenya still. So... So lots of sermons have been taught on, was this about prejudice? Was this about prejudice to you guys, you think? No. Why do I know that it wasn't? Because she tells me her heart it right away. He says, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken through us? They're jealous. Moses has a gift which they don't have, and Miriam doesn't have, and wants. And because of that, she finds some incident that God is not rebuking in Moses, nor is he speaking to her to rebuke in Moses, and she's picking on it, and she's saying, well, you know, we can speak up too, because we shouldn't be marrying Cushites. Now, I don't have any idea if you shouldn't be marrying Cushites or not. I don't believe that was the least bit the issue. It was just the issue they started to pick on. If you'll notice in your life, when you start to get really agitated or aggravated with somebody or something, often it's not the person that you're aggravated with. It's something behind that you're aggravated with, right? That's often the case, but you'll kind of fight and say, oh, it's about this, but it's not really. It's about being ignored. It might be about not being heard. It might be some other, like, huge thing, right? So whenever I have, like, this kind of agitation that's going around, I have to ask myself, okay, it's not really that issue, probably. It's something else. What's going on in my heart? So Miriam seems to be jealous in her heart. And then she goes, and then she talks. So you guys have looked at this, and I just read it to you. What are the characteristics that God is pointing out that Moses has that they don't have, that he wishes all of us would have? He's faithful. He's obedient. He's so humble. So obviously he's saying that Miriam's pride is the problem here. She's proud. She wants something. Basically, jealousy wants to wipe the person out that has what you want. I don't think you ever really know how murderous jealousy is, but actually at the heart of jealousy is they need to be gone so I can have what they have. That's how serious the issue was going on in her heart and why God had to strike her with leprosy to really allow her to see what the problem was. It's that serious. Now, can you imagine, like, go around here and think, what would it look like if every time we did something like this, we got leprosy? Would any of you have leprosy in this room? I would be such a leper. So I'm going to tell you the story because I can't believe I have to teach Miriam, and I have the story that applies to me. I was in and I've told you this story before, so excuse me for those of you who have been around for a while. But I was in church one day, and one of the pastors who will remain nameless, I was sitting in the front row of every class that he ever taught. Taught me everything about the gospel I ever knew. Was my hero, my father figure, the man that I just wish would really notice me and pay attention to me. So one day, he's preaching on something. I don't have any idea what it was. And I was sitting in the front row like this, as usual. And he looked over and he said something which indicated that he had no idea what my name was. And I had been sitting in his front row for like 15 years. I mean, it's a long time. And I sat there and I burned inside. And I burned inside and I said, that stupid man, he never remembers anybody's name. He should know my name. Blah, 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 blah. I'm doing all this quietly. I'm not telling the neighbor. I would have told the neighbor. I'm not saying I wouldn't have told the neighbor. I would have told the neighbor. And I have told plenty of neighbors other things. But this time it was just me. This whole internal dialogue. That's why I know how much this is dealing with your heart. Because God heard me. You know, like it says in this right, he heard me in my heart. And this is what he said. How dare you talk against my servant, blank. He is my servant. I will tell him what to do and where to go. Wham! He brought this verse up, which I couldn't even believe. And I wasn't even studying this verse. He just brought Miriam. So I have been a Miriam, and I have been rebuked from the Lord as Miriam. And I guess one of the things I want to say about this is that can seem scary to you. He struck her with leprosy. You know, it could have gone on forever. They pleaded for forgiveness. The leprosy did not go on forever. It just went on long enough that she took it seriously, and the community took it seriously, and they didn't let that keep going, right? When God rebuked me the way I just described to you, I can make that sound funny. It was a very serious rebuke. I heard it. I acknowledged it. I was afraid, somewhat, but not really. It was more like Dad coming alongside and taking you and saying, honey, you are so out of line. Come over here. We're going to talk about this. And he loved me enough to talk about it and not let it continue. That's what's happening here. And so for anybody that looks at this thing and goes, this is really scary stuff, the sin that we commit is serious to God. That is serious stuff. His reaction to those he loves, like Miriam and Aaron and Moses and all of us that love him, he will punish, correct, and admonish those of us he loves, but he restores us to relationship with him and redeems us from it and grows us up through it. So that's the good news. So I have been Miriam. And I am glad that she was restored to the community because I got restored to the community too. So I'm going to let you go to your small groups because I've got lots more, but I don't have time for it. And let me pray for all of us. Any of you guys want to confess with me that you're Miriam-like? It's okay. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you take us on a journey and that you begin with us at some point. You take us through a lot of conditions and hardships and joys. And you lead us home, God, to the promised land where you live and dwell, and we get to be in your presence. Lord, thank you that you do not leave us in our leprosy and our sin. Thank you, God, that you work and correct and admonish us and lead us and guide us and love us so that you present us to yourself, God, in a pleasing way. Thank you, God, for making us pleasing to you. In your power and in your promise, we trust. Amen.